You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Hoshi. Hotep family, I hope you are well today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it was not, and it had to get done, you got it done. That's right. You did it. And you continue to do it safely. Because that madness is still out there. They're trying to scare the hell out of people with that variant, ain't they? They're trying to scare the hell out of people with that. So, because they say, man. And, you know, like I said, what bothers me in this situation about the COVID-19, and I've talked about this on this program a few times. I'm not a pro or con advocate of the vaccine, but they never offered alternative. They never talked about holistic health. They never talked about general health, period. Never talked about vitamin D, how important that is to get it and get sunlight and so forth. I mean, they never talked about the only thing that this society has pushed, and I believe world society has pushed, is vaccine. And it's ironic that two of the people who are pushing vaccine the most are people who are associated with population control. You know? So it makes me suspicious. And of course, if you are a student of our history, you know who we're dealing with. We're dealing with Urugu, the liars of all liars. And I mean, just like with that brother, I don't know if you caught this on your YouTube or on your news feeds or email, whatever it was. But there was a brother getting a shot, and he held up a sign about Tuskegee, and you know, he's making a reference that, okay, they messed us around with Tuskegee, but they got it right here, and I'm proud of it. Man, the Negroism is just sickening. It really is. It is sickening. But that's because we don't have our right minds. We haven't had our right minds. Our minds have been compromised and bombarded 24/7, 365 with images and notions of our own inferiority and inability to come together, to trust one another, to love one another, to trust and love Urugu, to trust and love the Caucasian, the Garaka. Yeah, population control, you know. And of course, the vaccine is synthetic, because usually vaccines are made out of sometimes the diseases you're trying to fight, and they're synthetic. So anyway, this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, at any other time around the world. And if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look at the top for the podcast, the drop down, there'll be African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. I know we've been having some problems. I appreciate those who found ways to listen, calling the 215-490-9832 number, or maybe off the Time for an Awakening website, but you cannot go to TuneIn still at this time. You cannot reach us through TuneIn, which is a lot easier for a lot of people. And but we're going to get it rectified. Believe me, we're going to do that. But up until that time, I'm fortunate and happy to broadcast. I broadcast on Friday. I was more than happy to do so because I hadn't broadcast in 2 weeks. And a lot of times you lose a lot of the people, especially if you say you're going to be back and you come back and you're not heard. And then you're like, well, maybe they just off. I don't know. But no, we're here. We're here. And we're here for you. So once again, African Perspectives every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Okay, where am I at? Okay, let me see. Let's deal with the announcements.
Transferring call.
Oh, sorry about that, family. And also, too, sorry about any pop-ups that may be coming our way. I'm going to try to get that rectified, too. Man, I tell you, it's always something, ain't it? You show enough. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. And it is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. On Facebook, they're offering free delivery. And if I'm not sure what the purchase price is, I don't remember that, but they're offering. But just go to WeBuyBlack.com and you'll check it out. They got multiple of products that are produced by us. WeBuyBlack.com. And of course, they're still trying to get a supermarket here in the Atlanta metro area. I'm not sure where they would put it to maximize the potential of our people coming there, because there are a lot of places. You know, after all, Atlanta's in 5 different counties. The most of it, Atlanta's in Fulton County, where I live now, because I live in a city. I live in the city of Atlanta. But believe me, we should have been had a damn supermarket. Even in some of those areas outside of the city in different counties, where they could say, hey, you know what? We have a beautiful subdivision here. We have a beautiful gated community here. Let us pull some resources together. Let us trust one another, respect one another, and put a strip mall on the land that's down the street available for us, where we can put a supermarket, a restaurant, a takeout, a furniture store, clothing store, jewelry store, whatever it is we need. And I'm saying it because I'm thinking when I first got here to Atlanta, I lived in Tucker, which is in DeKalb County, which is the second largest county of the city of Atlanta that the city of Atlanta is in. And I lived in Tucker, and I had a doctor that lived off the Lawrenceville Highway. And interesting, in that area, a lot of Indians. They have their clothing store, they have their jewelry store, but they also had a strip mall, a supermarket, furniture store, jewelry store, restaurant, takeout, name it, they had it. And I'm saying to myself, damn. And other ethnic groups or cultural groups have theirs. But us, where can I buy from? Who can I buy with? No, I don't want us to have no, I want to go to Kroger. I want to go to Publix. Okay. Let's go on. I agree. Let's go on. We Buy Black. Oh, man. Okay. Africa for the Africans. Of course, my brother Bomani Tayemba, my good friend, he's back. He had a tour he just got back from last month, May 24th to June 5th. He went to Ghana. And so his next trip still is, at least until the time I'm going to give him a call and so I can get him on program to talk about upcoming trips. The one to Tanzania is November 18th through the 29th, and I'm preparing myself to go on that trip, the 18th through the 29th of November, because I want to check out some places. I mean, although my departure from this hellhole
is going to be delayed, but still maintaining my health is important so I can get out of here and live a life outside of this madness. Because here's my motto, y'all. I'd rather live in a world of my own choosing and struggle in that world than to be a fool in somebody else's dream. Apologize for these. I'm going to get this rectified. This is a headache, ain't it? Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop. Make it stop. Make it stop. I'd rather live in a world of my own choosing and struggle in that world than to be a fool in somebody else's dream. This is the European's dream, the Urugu's dream, the white man's dream. And in his dream, it is always going to be a nightmare for us. But because how slick his ass is, he gives you the illusion of inclusion. You feel just every much a right of this madness. You've seen enough. I know you have, because I know I have yesterday. Seen enough people with flag colors on, red, white, and blue, and out there with sparklers and out there. Anyway, the Tanzania trip, November 18th to the 29th. Then to Ghana, December 24th, the January 5th, 2022, going back to Ghana. And then April 1st to April 11th, going to Senegal and Gambia. That's Africa for the Africans. Put a $400 down payment on, continue to pay on it. Everything you need is on the website to make a trip of a lifetime. All information, all documentation, everything you need. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Oh, if you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. If you want to see pictures, go to facebook.com/Bomani. And, of course, you can give our good brother a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. Baba Rinoco has a webinar coming up July 16th. Friday, July 16th at 8 p.m. The African Image in Art. From Africa to Europe to the Americas. The African Image in Art. He also has a trip coming up to Kemet. July 31st through August 13th, 2021. July 31st to August 13th, I think it's $4,200. His Kemetic tour, the Ghanaian tour that was postponed. In a special presentation, Baba Rinoco Rashidi promised us a spectacular overview of the images of African in the realm of art. We begin with the Noki civilization of Nigeria, and proceed to look at the evolution of civilizations in Nigeria and West Africa. From West African, we examine European depictions of African from the colonization and enslavement period. Finally, we look at the images of African in the American experience. I'm quite sure it's going to be a dynamic presentation. Baba Rinoco Rashidi. If you want to check it out for yourself, go to drrinoco.com. drrinoco.com. Habesha Incorporated. Habesha stands for Helping Africans by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Habesha Incorporated.org and the Kashi Project that they got going on. It's beautiful. Unfortunately, I didn't come up on my computer, and nor did the Ledge Group. Those are a number of things that I always promote, the Ledge Group. And, of course, Bibi Atumi, B-A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I, BibiAtumi.com. Brothers and sisters, go to BibiAtumi.com. Make it a favor. Go there often for shopping, for news information, events, crowdfunding, and so forth. On the 17th of July, they have it's Saturday, 17th. It's a special seminar, the liberation of the SKH and the liberation of the African mind. It's a presentation by Baba, Dr. Wade Nobles. Dr. Wade Nobles. He is the great-great-grandson of Candace Agnes, an enslaved African born in 1810 on the Cook Farm. I hate the word plantation. I don't know about you, I do. Hate the word plantation. On the Cook Plantation in Eggerfield, South Carolina, Baba Wade Nobles is the namesake of Agnes's oldest son, Wade, who was born in 1836, who was an enslaved African in South Carolina. Baba Wade Nobles is the co-founder and past president of the Association of Black Psychologists, the founder and former executive director of the Institute for Advanced Study of African Family, Life, and Culture, professor emeritus. He is retired from the Department of Africana Studies at the San Francisco State University, and one of the leading architects in the African-centered education movement. His professional career as a teacher, researcher, and academician, and scholar has been in consistent and formal engagement in the ongoing theoretical development and programmatic application of African psychology. SKHTM. African-centered thought and cultural grounded scholarship to address the liberation and restoration of the African mind and worldwide development of African people. He is a Pan-African scholar and practitioner par excellence. Yes, he is, Dr. Wade Nobles. And of course, if you listen to this program, I've talked about the word power a number of times. And when I heard this, I don't know, some 20-something years ago, maybe longer, 30-something years ago. In fact, the first time I met him, at an ASCAC conference, you know, I even told him, I said, man, I believe your definition of power is most definitive. Any other definition is bullshit. Oh, excuse me. Sugar and honey iced tea. Sugar honey iced tea. Because he said, power is not money. Power is not politics. Power is not voting. Power is not education or information, because all those things are flawed and controlled by European. But what he said is this. He said, power is the ability to define reality, then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. That part I can't stand, but to define reality and shape and fashion in our interest, that's what we must do as African people. Power is definition, the ability to define reality, then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. Europeans define reality. And the question that we as African people must ask ourselves is, who are we in their reality? First, we were the soulless people, no culture to speak of, justifying our captivity and imprisonment and enslavement. Justifying it. We were the soulless people. Who are we today? We're thugs, drug addicts, no good fathers, no good mothers, gangsters, discouraged, uncouth, whatever. In their reality. That's who we are. Yeah, we got a few people doing this, that, and the other. I ain't talking about that. In fact, I ain't talking about those who support this damn system. If I want to give honor, I'll give honor to those who are fighting. Those who are trying to reclaim and recapture, restore African glory, African presence, African life. So, Dr. Wade Nobles, the most definitive definition. That's why people say, well, we're going to empower the people. We're going to have power. No, you don't understand what the damn meaning means. You don't understand. You have no power in European reality. In Urugu's reality, you have and never will have power. You be going along to get along. Be taking the crumbs off the cracker's table. Ah, man, don't get me started, right? Okay, Bibi Atumi. Brothers and sisters, go to bibiatumi.com. Got a lot of people coming on today. That is very good. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much. And those who are listening or outside the queue, I appreciate it very much. Us lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us lifting us, air Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m., from 9 p.m. Eastern until 10, on Blog Talk Radio. That's Blog Talk Radio /ULU, blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Us Lifting Us, that Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night. You can call to listen or call to give comments or questions or concerns, you know. And what the hell happened here? Brothers and sisters, I've got something going on here. I don't, okay. Some jump on my screen, man. Us Lifting Us. Give them a call at the phone. Their calling number is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in the Atlanta area, in the West End area that is being gentrified. But right now, you can go there and you can go to Wadada's, or go across the street to Soul Veg, or down the street to the Shrine of the Black Madonna. There's a lot of good other vegan restaurants around. There's Slutty Vegan. There's Tassili's. So culturally, the West End is, even though I've seen some plans, my daughter showed it to me, and they are moving in. But at this moment, let's stem the tide and continue to love one another, support one another. Go to Afrocentrics. Afrocentrics, for clothing and all artwork and so forth. Just beautiful what the sister has done with Afrocentrics. But Wadada's Healthy Market Juice Bar, located right there on Route David Abernathy. And, of course, give them a call at 404-444-1635. 444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. I went to see Mama Nia the other day. She is beautiful. She's doing fine. The store looks great. It's well stocked right there on the main walkway of the Greenbrier Mall. And give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, you name it. She's got it. And she's every open Monday through Saturday, and of course on Sunday as well, at the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we promote right here is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. My good friend, Brother Gazimdi Ajamu, located east of Atlanta, off of I-20 East in Lithonia. The number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. There is light in the Black Dot. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. That's right, Sun Goddess Sense. Give our sister Shelly Amonset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located in the green... located in the International Discount Mall. Sanjay-Aidi, my good sister, Gabby Aurelia, if you ever wanted to donate to a cause where children are being helped, particularly in the island of Haiti, understanding and knowing the devastations that have caused that. I mean, they still haven't remotely got out of that situation with the earthquake back in 2010. So please give our sister a call. Excuse me. Please go online to Sanjay, Sonje-Haiti, AYITI.org. Sonje-Haiti.org. Akabin Institute. Akabin Institute. Baba Baruti, Mama Yabaruti, been doing great work, as you know. And so they're still looking to continue the fight to raising warriors for our people. Go to send your check or money order to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, 10786 in Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But of course, in today's world, you can use Cash App and PayPal and Venmo, Zelle, and all kinds of ways you can move money. And if it's PayPal, Yabaruti at Yahoo. If it's Cash App, $YM Baruti. And make your donations. You can make them consistently. And of course, if you want to buy the books that Baba Baruti, who was a prolific writer, has, go to AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com. Yes. Okay. Well, we're going to do this, right? Yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Yes, Brother Oshi. We're going to do it. We're going to talk about the lineup that we have here. I didn't do that beginning. I thought I usually do it at the beginning. Maybe, you know, I'm a little off. I'll get back into the groove, y'all. Just excuse me, okay? I appreciate your patience. We're here, African Perspectives. We sure do. We do this at the beginning. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This evening at 6 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jahal Ahmed. Acres of Diamonds. And then at from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with your host, Dr. Mawia Kamban and her daughter, Nataki Kamban. And then at 9 p.m., Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report on Wednesday from 8 to 9. On Wednesday evening, 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. It says Friday, time for an awakening. And then on Saturdays, from 4 to 6 on Saturdays, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers from 4 to 6. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9 on Saturday. Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call, of course, is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Okay. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Now, I missed a lot of days. What I'm going to do Wednesday is go back over on the program of the days I miss and then read the quote in Baba Baruti's narrative, and we'll have some discussion. So we'll have discussion on the Inye Sesem. Got to do that sometimes because sometimes I'm just out. But for future, a couple of things I hope to happen. I hope to have Renoko on in his trip from Kemet. You know, we'll try to talk to him about that. We kind of kicked it around a little bit on a text about the possibilities of broadcasting or him hooking up the call, which is easy. I think could easily be done. So that sounds interesting, doesn't it? To me, it does. He's in Kemet. He's right there. He's doing his thing. And we can get a firsthand information of what's happening, how's he doing, and so forth. And also, too, a brother, Molly Davis. Attorney Molly Davis here is he's the people's attorney. He is the people's attorney here in the Atlanta area. He has a good program dealing with our youth. I mean, Brother Molly Davis, just an outstanding brother. He is the godson of Dr. Conrad Worrell, my friend, who went on to be with the ancestors last year, dying from COVID, you know. He wrote a book called We Need You, Encouraging My Son's Generation for Black Liberation. Encouraging My Son's Generation, the generation now for Black Liberation. I read it when I went to Tulsa, and I'm going to read it again because I'm going to try to get him on the program, and we can talk about his book. I love the way he wrote it. So that's Molly Davis, Attorney Molly Davis. The Davis-Bozeman Law Firm here in Atlanta. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought, July 4th. Now, ask all the people of the world what they call a people who smilingly consent and shamefully consent to their own degradation and destruction. They call such a people cowards because they are cowards. Herbert Henry Harrison. Negroes and Negroettes have no reason to exist beyond serving Urugu. For in their minds, Urugu is their divinity and their sustainer. He or she or its reality, their only viable heaven on earth and beyond. Truth be told, if Urugu ceased to exist,
so would Negroes, either out of awakening, fear, disorientation, or suicide. If they were somehow awakened, they would willingly submit to the punishment justly meted out by our ancestors. And if allowed, life work even harder for African sovereignty than those who are already seasoned frontliners, simply to prove themselves worthy of sitting at the fringes. If fear was a motivating factor, they would seek escape into the innermost sanctuaries of whatever ruins remain of Yoruba's reality. Following in their footsteps of the genetic evolution that they have come to believe their own, they would avascally find caves, fashion clubs, and prepare for an inevitable violent death at the hands of those who had betrayed and beyond who they had betrayed beyond forgiveness. If their already twisted minds become even more lost, they would find themselves wandering about the shifting sands of time in despair, without refuge, without home, without hope, heads ever in the sky awaiting Yoruba's return and their pale reincarnation. And if they fail, all was lost and could no longer live without Yoruba's hatred and violation. And within our ascension, they would visualize an end to it all and make it so by their very own hands. Affirm, I am no coward. Affirm, I am no coward. July 5th. If you are parents of worth and wisdom, train your children so they will be pleasing to God. And if they do what is right, follow your example and handle your affairs as they should. Do for them all that is good, for they are begotten of your heart and your soul. Therefore, separate not your heart from them. But if they fail to follow your course, oppose your will, reject all counsel, and set their mouths in motion with vile words, then drive them away. For they are not your children and were not born for you. Those who are guided do not go wrong, but those who willfully lose their way will not find a straight course. Ptah Hotep. Unfortunately, most of our children will not find a straight course. However, the fault does not lie with them because they are not responsible for rearing themselves. Even though we know the ancestral wisdom that when a boy or girl turns 10, there are no more excuses. If you've turned 10, there are no more excuses. Which means that when they can be held accountable for what they say and do, their moral and ethical foundations have already been established in their formative years, when they were innocent and naive by the words and behaviors of the adults around them. Sadly, many of these adults readily accept and adhere to Yoruba's designs on our children's becoming and remaining permanently thoughtless and dependent. We can demand no more of our children than we are. And broken parents who were themselves brought into a menticidal adulthood have little righteous direction by word or example to offer their offspring. Affirm, in word and action, I am proving righteous guidance to our youth. Affirm, in word and action, I am proving righteous guidance to our youth. The key there, action. You can say a lot of things. I've said this to the young people I work with. You know, Brother Oshie can say all kinds of things. It's not what I say. It's what I do. It's the action. Ptah Hotep of the fifth dynasty of ancient Kemet. It is said that Ptah Hotep, this is, you know, over 4,500 years ago. He is quoted as having the first book, the wisdom of Ptah, the maxims of Ptah Hotep, the first book in history. This man is just phenomenal. He was a vizier or a I'm getting stuck here on the word because I'm trying to get this word out, and I know y'all know it. It's not the president. You got a king, and you got, well, you know what? It's going to come to me. I apologize for it, but that's who Ptah Hotep was, and he is buried in Saqqara, which is the area of the first pyramid by Imhotep, the first world multi-genius, the step pyramid for the Pharaoh Zoser, prime minister, Oshi. Ptah Hotep was a prime minister. A vizier is a prime minister. And he is buried as well at Saqqara. And he's to be respected. And like I said, the first book of wisdom ever written was Ptah Hotep. So, Wednesday, we're going to read some from the Inye Sesim, and of course, I'm opening it up to you. Read some passages. We'll talk about it. I want to get some dialogue, and that's going to be good. That's going to be good. Yeah. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your behavior pattern. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude. And your attitude determines your behavior pattern. And your behavior pattern determines your actions. We just mentioned that. It's not what you say. It's what you do. But it begins with what you think. And it ends with what you do. If you think this is the way, or this how they are, and then your actions exemplify that, that could be sad. Because if you think that our sisters, our queens, our bitches, hoes, and hoochies, you will treat them as such. But if you think our queens deserve our respect, deserve our care and love and protection, you will treat them as such. But in this world, you are trained to be divided. You are trained to hate one another. In fact, a sister quoted me, said, isn't it that 80% of black men go? I said, sister, no, that's not true. But I'll give you the direct number. If somebody has a direct number of the percentage of brothers that go with women outside of our culture and sisters that go with men outside of our culture, and you got a good quote or a good number, please give me a call. Let me know. It begins with your philosophy, what you think, and it ends with what you do. That's why it's important to develop yourself in your thinking. What you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself. And what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. This society does the telling. Yes, those of us who have developed an African-centered mindset, who have listened to our ancestors, who have listened to our scholars and our historians, who have listened to all the men and women who've struggled, we have been told of our who we are and our greatness, not our wretchedness. It's just like Drusilla Dungy Houston. Drusilla Dungy Houston, who wrote the book, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire. She said this in 1926, the same year that Carter G. Woodson established Negro History Week. You have some warrior scholars and researchers, brothers and sisters, from well over well over 100 years, who understood how important it was to reclaim, recapture, and restore the history of our people
You know what Carter G. Woodson did, the sacrifices that he made. Drusilla Dungy Houston's book, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire of 1926. She has, to me, one of the most profound quotes. It is deeply profound. She says, I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts in history that Harvard or Yale or cowardly scholarship in our culture can dare not refute. How can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? How can a leadership point the way forward that has no understanding of who we are and what we have done, the shoulders that we stand on, the history that we have made, the civilizations that we have done? That's why I will continue to push the documentary, Great Pyramid K 2019. I will continue to push it. If you haven't, go to YouTube, put in Great Pyramid K 2019. Be patient. It's over three and a half hours, but it's well worth it. Because it tells you who built the pyramids. They tell you how it was built. And all the influence that we've had around this globe as African people. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints. Who talked but had nothing meaningful to say. Who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so, we lay at your feet the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's troll and square. Africa's books of great wisdom, now go and build for eternity. Brother Lester Velt Middleton, you can go on YouTube and go put in Lester Velt Middleton, because he interviews the great scholars. He interviews the warrior scholars. John G. Jackson, Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, Dr. Chancellor Williams, Francis Cress Welsing, Shashi Mactar, many others. But what, and reason why I like this quote even more so, because that's what he did in South Carolina. He built his home literally with his hands. Unfortunately, he didn't see it totally complete before he passed. But at our ASCAC back in the spring, back in March, his wife was on the call, on the Zoom call, and many other people. Baba Gallman did that workshop, who knew Lester Velt Middleton well. So that's very special. That's very special to me. Yeah. This is the day after the 4th of July. And of course, they continue and will continue to lie. One of the pieces that has always been good to play at this time was Frederick Douglass. And I know some of the sisters are a little chilly on Frederick Douglass because he married a Caucasian towards, you know, his sister wife, you know, bore him the kids. You know, if you've seen the movie Glory, in fact, Andre Brower, he has the glasses, round glasses. That's supposed to be Frederick Douglass's son. And, of course, that was a suicide mission on Fort Sumter in South Carolina, to attack that fort. It was a suicide mission. Well, in the movie, and of course, you know, I think the defiant part was when Denzel was getting whipped. Even though the tear was on his eyes, but that mother was a whole strong. Yeah. Yeah. But Frederick Douglass, the day after 4th of July, he spoke to the women's anti-slavery, Caucasian women's anti-slavery group. I'm not sure where it was at, but these are the words, and this comes from Democracy Now!, the War and Peace Report, Democracy Now!, and of course it's being read. There's two of them. One is being read by James Earl Jones. This is the one that's James Earl Jones. And another by Morgan Freeman. And in fact, the debate became, who do you like, whose voice do you like more, Morgan Freeman or James Earl Jones? You know, both of them politically I ain't too cool with. But if I had a choice, I think I'd go with James Earl Jones. But this is Democracy Now! Into what is your 4th of July to me as a captive.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Today in this special broadcast, we begin with the words of Frederick Douglass. Born into slavery around 1818, Douglass became a key leader of the abolitionist movement. On July 5th, 1852, in Rochester, New York, Douglass gave one of his most famous speeches, What to the Slave is Your 4th of July? He was addressing the Rochester Ladies Anti-Slavery Society. This is James Earl Jones reading the historic address during a performance of Voices of a People's History of the United States that was co-edited by Howard Zinn. The late great historian introduced the address.
Frederick Douglass, once a slave, became a brilliant and powerful leader of the anti-slavery movement. In 1852, he was asked to speak in celebration of the 4th of July.
Fellow citizens, pardon me and allow me to ask, why am I called upon to speak here today? What have I or those I represent to do with your national independence? Are the great principles of political freedom and of natural justice embodied in that Declaration of Independence extended to us? And am I therefore called upon to bring our humble offering to the national altar and to confess the benefits and express devout gratitude for the blessings resulting from your independence to us? I am not included within the pale of this glorious anniversary. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us. The blessings in which you this day rejoice are not enjoyed in common. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, and independence bequeathed by your fathers is shared by you, not by me. The sunlight that brought life and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. This 4th of July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice, I must mourn. To drag a man in fetters into the grand illuminated temple of liberty and call upon him to join you in joyous anthems were inhuman mockery and sacrilegious irony. Do you mean, citizens, to mock me by asking me to speak today? What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him more than all other days of the year the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is a constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham. Your boasted liberty, an unholy license. Your national greatness, swelling vanity. Your sounds of rejoicing are empty and heartless. Your denunciation of tyrants, brass-fronted impudence. Your shouts of liberty and equality, hollow mockery. Your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgivings, with all your religious parade and solemnity, are to him mere bombast, fraud, deception, impiety, and hypocrisy, a thin veil to cover up crimes that would disgrace a nation of savages. There's not a nation of the earth guilty of practices more shocking and bloody than are the people of these United States at this very hour. At a time like this, scorching irony, not convincing argument, is needed. Oh, had I the ability and could reach the nation's ear, I would today pour forth a stream, a fiery stream of biting ridicule, blasting reproach, withering sarcasm, and stern rebuke. For it is not light that is needed, but fire. It is not the gentle shower, but thunder. We need the storm, the whirlwind, the earthquake. The feeling of the nation must be quickened. The conscience of the nation must be roused. The propriety of the nation must be startled. The hypocrisy of the nation must be exposed, and the crimes against God and man must be proclaimed and denounced.
That was James Earl Jones reading Frederick Douglass's address, What to the Slave, is your 4th of July.
And of course, that is a profound piece. A lot more to it. as I'm listening and I'm reflecting on our situation here, and what it has done to us and how we have reacted, I'm thinking about what I just seen recently. You know, where everything that they were talking about was finding ways to continue to access the system, continue to be a part of this system. Nobody was talking about independence. There wasn't a word spoken about self-determination. There was nothing said about liberation. And they sure didn't say nothing about being sovereign. As I watched that particular program, and I kept thinking to myself, you know, these folks got our minds so tough, you know, because what you can't conceive, you will never achieve. We can't even think about our direction, our impetus, our struggle, our push is continuing to make Europeans, Caucasians, Yorugu, make them understand that we are human too. Respect us. Let us share in what you have stolen. Let us share to the sacrifice that we and our forefathers have made to help build this. Recognize our achievements. Recognize who we are in our humanity. It's pathetic, isn't it? It is. Let's take a break, brothers and sisters. When we come back from this break, let's have some dialogue. Let's have some discussion. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You're my
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Jaheen. And let us see. Those two songs, good favorites of mine, Brother Jaheen. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on today, Monday, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming with Brother Jahad Ahmed. And then from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Ataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. And Tuesday's Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. And that's from 8 to 10 on Tuesday. 8 to 10 on Tuesday. And then on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report, 8 p.m. to 9 on Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 9. And then if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers from 4 to 6. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You know, the brother who wrote the book, The Sovereign Psyche, Brother Ezra Erahone. I saw this quote, and I'm going to continue to present this to our people because the quote is profound. There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point where they completely abandon the superior wealth of their own homeland. Because of the trauma was so deep, and whether you were in the Caribbean, whether you were in South America, Central America, and of course here, it was so deep that you were disconnected from Africa. And of course you were beaten down with the idea and the notion that Africa was inferior. Africa was no good. And of course, Africans were fed the same ignorance, the same damn thing that is still prevalent today. You'll hear people today, well, man, ain't going no damn Africa. They don't like us. You hear Africans talking about, no, they don't like us over in America, you know. Divide and conquer. We've been so well trained. The fear factor within us is so damn deep that we just can't shake it. We can't step out of sight of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed upon us. We cannot release the vice grip that they have on our minds. It's tight, and they got it clamped. Because you know that tool. Once you clamp it, you can't just pull it apart. You just can't use brute strength. No, that knob at the end of the handle must be turned. Acquiring knowledge of self and confidence in who you are, belief in who we are as a people, you're able now to turn that knob, to release the tension, to finally open the vice grip. And when you do, it ain't about revenge. It ain't about trying to treat them as, which is their fear, that we would treat them as we have treated them. No. We see them for who and what they are. We reject them. We want to be independent. We want to be self-determining. We want to be liberated. Damn it, we want to be sovereign. The only place that can happen is on the continent. It cannot happen, brothers and sisters, in the Caribbean. We were brought there. I know here in the States there and in this hemisphere, there are some of us. No, man, we're just as indigenous to this land than the Indians. You see, look at us. We're looking like them too, see? For those who make that argument. I mean, that got so deep about three years ago. And of course, with the advent of ADOS, American Descendants of Slaves. I don't know about you. God, I hate that. American Descendants of Slaves and their push for reparations, and that nobody who has came here from the continent or the Caribbean deserves what they're talking about getting. Only those who were in captivity here in America, based upon what ADOS is saying, deserves reparations. No, brothers and sisters, we all deserve reparations. We should get reparations. Not that it benefits you personally. Yes, I do know there are many of our brothers and sisters who for generations were impoverished. Generations who their families couldn't get out of it, and who family members were unable to educate themselves and inform themselves. I feel them. I feel for them. But I ain't talking about making you comfortable. I'm talking about us coming into the reality of ourselves as African people, and controlling our land and controlling our resources. You have no land here. Well, you know, I'm down with the Republic of New Africa. We got five states, you know, North, South Carolina, Georgia, you know, Alabama, Mississippi. What about Florida? I don't think about that. But even at that, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Republic of New Africa. Baba Obadeli and the great work that they have done. You know, but to me, to do anything in the midst of an open and sworn enemy, when the history, Malcolm once again said it best, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. When you look at the history of Europeans, of Caucasians, Urugu, Krakas, whatever, in their relationship to us, it is not good at all. So, no. Mm-mm. In fact, a couple of people posted of massacres that happened around the 4th of July. St. Louis, I think, East St. Louis, I believe, the 3rd, and one happened before then. Okeechobee, I think it's Mississippi. I'm not sure. There were many massacres. Obviously, the famous is Tulsa. The one well documented is Tulsa. The one where they have the proof of what the European had done, or the Caucasian, the Urugu had done. It's Tulsa. And the evilness of them was clearly on display, not just in the destruction, but in their denial. Just like today, their denial, the height of European privilege is to deny history, to deny all the evil that they have done. Well, they continue to have Confederate statues all over the place. Many of those, if you know that history, that those things were erected not after the Civil War, not in the 1800s. A lot of them were erected in the 19th century, even up to 2040, because they wanted to intimidate. They wanted to let it be known that this is ours. And even though we warred amongst ourselves, we are Caucasian. I told you, in Europe, they did the same damn thing all the time. They're fighting. The European is a very warlike human, if you want to call him human. How about a warlike creature? Constantly in conflict. Doesn't find a way to be peaceful. Never thought in a damn mind about concessions or compromise or understanding or peace. No. And they've always found a better way to kill your ass. From a rock to a club to the technology of today. Where one man can walk into a crowd of literally hundreds and just mow them down. Where you can't get close to him. He's just going round and round firing hundreds of rounds a minute. And he's got all the ammunition to last about 5 minutes or more. It's crazy, isn't it? Yes, it is. That's their world. That's what I'm saying. We have to get out of here. The Exodus in the Bible did not happen. The Bible is not a historical book. And I know I got some friends who are Christians. And one of them, when I said that, he made a face, and I understand. I mean, it's his religion. I know that for me, if Christianity, but see, you can't do that within Christianity because you are trained to believe that it is the infallible word of God and that it is historical. One thing about Christianity, when you got to read Urugu, you got to read Dr. Marima Ani's great work. Who I consider that the Bible. That is the book that woke me up. Oh, since I thought about that, I hope some of you might remember about 20 years ago. I think Urugu came out after this book, which was The Directory of Certified Uncle Toms. My good brother Quake Cook, because mine is in the bin down there. My basement somewhere, but he had his out, and I'm looking at, you know what? I should look at this book. I should research it again and do a program on it because some of these folks that they labeled as Toms and Coons 20 years ago are still Tomming and still Cooning. And of course, there's more. To explain that, I plan to do that. I'm going to do some research on that. The Directory of Certified Uncle Toms. You know. So if you want to jump in, you know, you hit star twice. Some of you have been jumping off and on to engage in this conversation. If you want to. I plan to do that. That would be an interesting conversation and find out today, you know, those who were named then, have they redeemed themselves? And those people of today. And give a definition, an idea of what it is and who they are and what they can do. Not to be that certified Uncle Tom's. So, I mean, we have a lot of work to do as African people. We have a lot of work to do as African people, locally, statewide, nationwide, internationally. We have a lot of work to do. Because all around the world, because the European has, you know, when he came out of that dark age, that medieval age, that land poor, resource poor, and people poor, began to go around the world. First doing his exploration and then taking people's stuff. And one of the things that the European was able to do was sully the image of African people. Nowhere around the world, Dr. Clark said it, we have no friends. We have no friends. You want a friend? Look in the mirror and don't leave that mirror till you like what you see. Not that you like your mustache and how you got it groomed. Your eyebrows, how nice and thick they are. No. You like who you see historically. You like who you see culturally. And not only do you like who you see personally, but you like those who look like you. Because one thing for sure, nobody is going to save us but us. We have no friends. Everybody has betrayed us. And of course, the many of us who have betrayed ourselves. It is not a lost cause. In fact, my contention is to the last person, the last dying breath, of us who speak of liberation and self-determination and sovereignty, until that death, we continue to fight. Until that is no more, we'll continue to fight. If the Chinese have eliminated us on the continent and taken over the continent, along with Europeans, along with Indians, along with Arabs, to the point of wherever we are on the continent, throughout this diaspora, that we have been relegated, as we have been and continue to be, to the lowest of the economic ladder, to the point as we begin to die off because we have trusted Europeans' vaccinations, we have trusted Europeans' medicine, we have trusted them for what they and who and what they are and not looked at them objectively, to our detriment. When that begins to happen, oh, I know I better be gone. In fact, I definitely want to be gone. But I would hope that those of us who listen to this program, those of us who believe and understand our history and our culture and our traditions, and the greatness of us and who we are. I gotta believe that they will fight on. They will continue to hold up the banner of independence and self-determination and liberation and sovereignty. That they will suddenly find ways to educate our young brothers and sisters to be warriors and to be thinkers and doers and to do things in service to us, in service to African people. A lot of times the things that we've done for ourselves that we're benefiting a service to all mankind. Like I said, to me, that's a game changer, that Great Pyramid K-2019. It's a game changer because it explained how we went around the world. We didn't go other places and undermine and supplant people and take their stuff, claim it as our own. That's not us. We didn't go other places and take the riches and come back and to enrich ourselves. When you look at Europe today, once again, Dr. Clark said they were land poor, resource poor, people poor, coming out of that medieval or dark age. And look at them today, y'all. They struggle. That's why they got to dominate. They're experiencing negative population growth. And doesn't seem like there's a damn thing they can do about it. And I'm glad that's the penalty and the punishment that they deserve. Ah, but when you have a mindset like theirs, I ain't going out like that by myself. I'm taking a whole bunch of y'all with me. Take this vaccine. Drink this. Eat this. I'll get my brother Kwaku over here so I can eliminate these pop-ups. I apologize, dear brothers and sisters. Anyone who wants to join the conversation, hit star twice. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Give us a call to join this conversation at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Good afternoon, 464. Good afternoon.
Hey, what's happening, Odios, man? May you enjoy your blessed 4th of July with the ribs, the franks, yep. The hamburgers. Yep. The only yep. thing was missing was some burning crackers. but listen, in all seriousness, the white man trying to get rid of you. He's not trying to befriend you. He's not trying to assist you in his demise.
No, of course not.
I mean, this is what the Negro don't understand.
Right.
You know, the Negro feel as though he has a position here with the white man. And what do the white man do? The white man do nothing but manipulate and use you. It's the prime example on how they're handling the John Lewis bill and the George Floyd bill.
Right.
The white man, right. The white man ain't gonna give you that.
Right.
Just like he ain't gonna give your black ass reparations. And the sad thing is, you haven't figured out how to make them give it to you.
Right.
Other people have. But see, talk that nonsense about you're an American. You this and you that. But he constantly put you in a position to where you're going to be in, as they call, a soft version, listen to the words clearly, a soft version of Jim Crowism. And your dumb ass going to go along with it because you ain't going to recognize that you in Jim Crowism. Boy, we as a people, some get it, some don't. The reality is, we don't get it.
No, we don't. We don't get it. Some of us don't have a damn clue about what's going on.
But see, the crazy thing is this. People like to think that, and I'm sorry to say this, that Negroes are enlightened into what is their best interest. Because with the propaganda that is being put out, one would think that voting is in your best interest. But do you notice that the majority of black folks don't vote? So what is that telling you? Negroes have no idea on what is their best interest that's even pretending to be their best interest. You see, but we don't want to be honest and make that criticism that our people are naive, brainwashed, basically brain dead, and basically still in the mentality of the slave master gave them when we was enslaved. That's why you would have some of us who would tell on others that were the Harriet Tubmans of the time, the Denmark Vesey, the Nat Turner. Mm-hmm. What makes the mindset of a Negro who would tell on someone who's trying to harm the person that just beat you within an inch of your life 2 months ago? Well, that's the mindset people, unfortunately, on the whole.
Because the evilness of Europeans, they don't, you know, they ain't leaving nothing unturned. So they're making sure that everything that they do is designed to maintain the privilege that they created for themselves.
No question.
So they have the mechanism, like manutorious manumissions.
Mandatory manumissions,
where if I tell on Jay, I'll get an award. I'll be a good
there
Negro.
You, go.
You know, I told on that, you know, because, you know, Jay is so damn, you know, radical, and he's talking all this stuff. He might trying to create an uprising. So I go to Massa and I say, Massa, Jay is all talking. He's riling the people up. He talking about going ahead and marching on you and, you know, to free yourself and from the land and everything like that. So, Master, I knew I could come to you and tell you because, I didn't want nothing to happen to you, sir. Good boy. You know, Jay, on the real, they would even put plaques in certain little towns and so forth about a Negro who turned in a rebellion, you know. Give him or her some notoriety.
They do that now.
You know?
They do that now. They do that now with Negro. See, the point is this, O. And I say this all the time, and people be, like, you know, upset about it. I ain't never mad at the white man for what he do to us. I'm mad at us for allowing them to do it. Because the reality is, what the white man's doing to us here, we should be back home doing to them and all others. See, the point of the matter is, when you deal with a savage, sometimes you have to be a savage. All that love and that BS, yo, man, that don't stop that devil from killing you. That don't stop that white man from beheading you because you want to show love. So whereby when that happens, you get a Negro like John Lewis. How the hell could I, as a strong man, ever praise some type of man that accepts the fact that he got his ass whipped? I can't do that. That's not manhood. You know, I'm just saying, if that's the choice that he take, so be it. But no, I'm never going to take that choice. I'm never going to have somebody beat me and then say afterwards, I love you. I don't even feel that way about my parents. You know what I'm saying? I'm keeping it 100 with you. You know what I mean? I don't expect nobody to take a beating and then behave like John Lewis and others behave. That's not how the world really is.
Right.
And that's what Dr. Clark and them was talking about. Mm-hmm. You can't allow nobody to abuse you, to beat you, to manipulate you, and do anything to you, and then talk about you gonna forgive them. Now, maybe you won't kill them, but that don't mean you got to forgive them. Maybe you'll stay away from the person, but that don't mean you got to forgive them. And then on top of that, take your people on that type of sick, pathetic ride. And hey, that's why you got us in the position we in now.
Mm-hmm.
And the question becomes, what are you going to do to get out of that position? Because unfortunately, it's not going to happen with this whole kumbaya, sugar, honey, iced tea, of blacks coming together and doing this and that. Nah, it ain't never going to happen, bro.
No,
it's only going to take a small group of people who are like-minded coming together, doing what they having to do, and then hopefully building upon it on a diligent, small, continuous basis. But, hey, the masses can't be saved in this game. The sadness is that we have to suffer through some of the sugar, honey, iced tea that they allow to happen. So the bottom line is, yeah, there's some, as they say, outward faces of so-called black success. But then again, if you're a critical thinker, ask yourself this. Why in this country there's 100 white billionaires, but only maybe 3 or 4 black billionaires? And maybe 1 or 2 other nationality billionaires. So basically what that's saying to you is they're going to give you the Oprah Winfrey. Sure. But at one time, remember, Bill Cosby was just as big as Oprah, right?
Oh, yeah.
And what did they do to his black ass?
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the point is, the white man always going to control you. The tragedy is that those that get in the position to do for black folk don't do it, and they don't come together collectively to do it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And those that are the ones who are the facilitators have to keep close track of what they're saying and what they're doing. I'll give you a prime example. The basketball player Jamal Mashburn, very wealthy and wise guy. I heard the brother have a conversation about, you know, people in the league coming to him and asking for direction and advice on how to do business.
What does he have? Some car dealerships, isn't it?
He has He's like Junior Bridgman. Junior Bridgman, yeah. and Magic.
Yeah.
And you know,
and
you know
Shaq.
Cats that are rich also, like your boy Butch Lee. You know, another one that's quiet that people don't know, that's a real heavy hitter, that you never hear them really talk about. Vinnie Johnson, the Microwave. Vinnie Johnson, probably one of the richest ex-NBA basketball players in the country. People don't know that, you know. But the point of the matter is, why ain't those guys coming together collectively? You know why? Because if they ever put forward that agency to come together collectively to really do things, hey, man, the white man gonna go after you. That's just the way he get down. So, yeah, I respect the brother. Whenever I hear a brother say that he's passing along knowledge, I love it. You know what I mean? But I also, and I'm not going to say that I don't, I also fear that he's smart enough to protect what he has, because if the white man think he getting too much out of line, they will crush his ass.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're not gonna play games. They're not gonna play games with you. It's just like, you know, quiet as kept. Have you heard about this thing that's going on with at ESPN?
Yeah.
Okay, now check this out. I don't know if you picked it up, but I picked it up. The white boy that the white chick was making her gripe to, he's the individual that basically is the overseer of LeBron James. Did you peep the article?
No.
Read the article.
Okay, because I dabbled in it a bit, and basically.
Yeah, the white guy is the one. Now check this out. The white guy is the one who's putting forward the narrative of LeBron James and his partner's so-called political narrative. Mm. but people don't pick up on that. People think LeBron James is so independent. Yeah, he's probably independent on a certain level, but you know who he really going to get his counsel. You know who's really pulling the string. They let the cat out the bag. But people don't pick up on that. It's just like a lot of people didn't know at one time, and he's probably still a deal maker, in the music business, was Clarence Avant. Just like at one time, Vernon Jordan, before he died, was a deal maker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ron Brown was a deal maker.
Right. They're
dead.
There's
always certain Negroes that are deal makers or have the ability to educate, but there's always a white man who's over them.
Right. Exactly. Because that's who they.
And you see, we don't come together collectively to do the necessary things we need to do.
Because, CJ. Just like I said earlier in the program, I was watching the piece, you know, and they were talking about, this was the Juneteenth Day piece that ABC did. It's a 2-hour piece, and if you have streaming, you can get it. Not one portion of that piece and the different things that they did and talked about, you know, had some music breakaways and so forth. Not one of them spoke to independence. Not one of them spoke to being self-determining or liberated, and Schoenheld didn't talk about sovereignty. He consistently talked about how we're making progress. And yes, how we've taken a step back or two, but we're still moving forward and making progress. It is still looking at and begging Caucasians for a piece of their action. It's the same thing when you talked about LeBron James. You know, I mean, it would be great if LeBron James was African-centered. But that can't happen, because if he's African-centered, he is not going to be in the NBA no more. He is not going to have the cachet and have the influence that he has had. And that's like that with all other of these folks.
All of them.
All of them. They got notoriety. They got a platform more so than... See, once again, you know, here you have the Caucasian... who believes, the Republicans particularly, who believe that this critical race theory is something that they can utilize to garner more support for the upcoming 2022 midterm elections, and then ultimately the 2024 presidential elections. And
manipulation.
Exactly. And basically what that is saying is that, no, America is not inherently racist. America is not systemically racist. America's not institutionally racist. No, it's individuals. There's an individual here. It's just like...
That right there, Oshi, is the biggest form of bullshit one could imagine, that America isn't those things.
Right.
And for a black person to not see past that, that's what I'm talking about when I say we get what we deserve.
Yeah.
Because you gotta be brighter than that, bro. We've been here for 500 some years. You telling me that we still playing on the premise of so-called Willie Lynchism, which is a myth, but we're still being able to be manipulated all of this time with the amount of so-called intellectuals, educated, that we have? And the thing that most people don't want to tell the truth about is, most of your so-called intellectuals and smart Negroes are trying to place you in the whiteness. I mean, let's keep it real. They're not trying to do anything African.
I told you.
You know,
listen, Jay, in that program, not one word of, yes, they had some colors. They had the red, black, and green. They also had that Juneteenth Day. Symbolism without substance. That Juneteenth Day flag. Yep. Then they had another flag. It's red, black, and green. You know, the stripes. It's a parody, a par on the U.S. flag, except the colors are red, black, and green. You know, my contention is, bump all that shit. There's only one flag that we must develop and must hold up,
and that is what Marcus Garvey gave us, and that's the red, black, and green.
Hey, Oshie, I agree with that so much. Let me ask you this, in all seriousness, and please answer this. If the white man said to us today, right now, today, that I have no more use for your black ass, you're no longer going to be employed by us, we may give you some sort of assistance till you get yourself together, but we will no longer hire you or do anything. Could black people survive in this country?
Not in this country, no.
Do we have anything in place? Do we have anything in place to,
but you know,
to,
Jay,
to,
Jay,
to help our people?
Jay, we've been surviving in this country like that anyway, because they've consistently told me ain't giving you nothing. You know?
Yeah, but there's a difference.
You know,
I'm saying totally cut your black ass off.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got your job no more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you have nothing. You have nothing to sustain yourself, so therefore.
What we going to do? Are these Negroes who's supposed to be the muckety mucksters, the so-called employers, are they going to be high enough of us to survive? Are they going to be able to consolidate and do the necessary thing to trade amongst themselves? If the white man say, I'm no longer going to purchase for you?
Well, let me say it to you
this
way.
You know what I'm saying? Are black people going to be able to pick up the slack? Are black people going to be able to put together the necessary commerce to deal with one another? Are we going to be able to feed ourselves? Are we going to be able to survive? No. And that's for people even like me who got a little bit of asset.
But let me just say it this way, Jay. If the country, this country, United States, said that no longer will we give aid to anybody, there are no social programs. It's go for what you know. And in fact, that's what they want you to believe, that everybody has an equal opportunity, an equal chance at attaining the dream of America. See, that's what this critical race theory bull is about, this sugar, honey, iced tea is about. Is saying that, no, America's not racist. America's not a racist country. America is not systemic and institutionalized. No, it's individuals here and there. That's what America is. And so anybody can overcome. You can attain what you want to attain here if you work hard enough, you know?
Listen to that word, work hard enough.
If you work hard enough, you can
that's attain. Always what they throw at you.
Yeah. See, you so know? That's what this whole thing is about. And the Republican Party, who believes that bull, you know, and who is espousing that. And so if the Caucasian said that to us point blank, I would think and hope that we would say, you know what, you're right. I'm tired of chasing after your ass. I'm tired of begging you.
I had a guy tell me that we not oppressed in this country, and then ask me why is Nigerians coming over to this country and thriving.
Yeah. There's other Africans and brothers and sisters from the Caribbean as well as from other countries. Doing the same
but
thing.
But they never tell you this about them, that they're usually their best, and that when they come over here, most of them never go back home.
Right.
So, of course, they would be seen as thriving, but what they don't realize is it's a twofold situation with other countries. Their best come here with the mandate to get everything that they can and go back home.
Right.
And some stay here to make sure that those that come here get what they can.
Right.
And the best that they can, and then send their ass back home. I guess we as Africans don't see it that way because, unfortunately, we don't want to go back home and build home. We don't want to do those necessary things. But do you notice how most countries that have a heavy influence of their people coming to this country are getting better and better, are growing and developing and developing. Just look at what happened with Japan. Just look at what's now happening with India. see what we don't realize is we don't understand that this is not ours, and it's never going to be ours, and the white man has a right to keep it that way. You know why? Because what did he do? He came, he conquered, and he did what he's supposed to do.
He controlled it, and I ain't mad at it. I understand when you say that, Jay, but I look at the world today. In times past, when there was no communications, when a European went to some place and did what he did, and it did it in such despicable, evil ways, nobody knew. Unless somebody like Bartholomew de las Casas, who wrote about what Columbus did in the Caribbean, particularly on the island of what is now Haiti and Dominican Republic. Then right. They call it Hispaniola. And, of course, the genocide that they have practiced, initiated. That's why when the European Jew talks about genocide, they don't damn genocide. It's murder.
Yep.
It's murder. But ain't no damn genocide. Genocide is when you are eliminated. What happened to the people on what is now called Tasmania, Trukanini and her people? They're wiped off. The Aqua Indians, they're wiped out. That's genocide. That is us, you know. And so, to me, when you look at what has happened to us and what we must do to get ourselves out of it, we don't have the heart, the mind at this moment to do it. Yes, there's a number of us like ourselves and people who listen to this program who understand how important it is to be self-determining, how important it is to work amongst each other, to trust one another, build with one another, respect one another, and step out front. I understand and I believe that. But then there's a multitudes of us who are traitors, who would do anything for Urugu and for their acceptance. You have a number of people on the continent who are neo-colonialists and puppets and so forth.
We got to stop romanticizing, bro. We got to stop romanticizing and face the fact that the white man is our perpetual enemy. He's not going to stop being our enemy. And look at it in the term that he's using his usefulness for our black ass.
Yeah.
And what are we going to do when he finally say, I have no more use for you? Because you know the reality is there's always a replacement for the black man. I mean, he shows it to you all the time in the manner in which he treats others in this country. You know what I mean? It's just others won't put up with it.
Well, others' conditions. Jay, I know my time is up, but others still had a knowledge of self. Others still had their culture. Others still had traditions. Others still even had their religions. We were stripped totally and then divided amongst ourselves and instilled in us a self-hatred so deep that we bleach our skin and straighten our hair and all these other things. When I look at sometimes on the feed on Facebook, when they show acts and so forth from the 40s and 50s and even some of the 60s, how all the women are light-skinned. Very seldom do you see a dark-skinned woman. All the men have processes. Very seldom do you see, you know, that didn't start to change until the late 60s into the 70s. And then even into the 70s, close to the 80s, damn the Afro, we giving you the Jerry curl. You know? I mean, this is madness.
It's deep, bro.
Yeah.
Listen, I know you got to go, but yeah. the deal is this. It's like a brother used to say to me, man, the white man got the Negro on remote control, man. And unfortunately, there's a large portion of our people who are on remote control and fight is harder to protect the white man than the white man is protecting themselves. And unfortunately, we as a people are going to just be in that circumstance, and it's not going to change. Yeah. And I would love for it to change. But well, it's not going to change because of the simple fact we haven't been able to figure out, in all honesty, what direction we're going to go forward as an African people. Until we get to that point, we just going to keep on going around the merry-go-round.
Well, see, what
and
you...
And this all it is a yeah. merry-go-round.
Yeah.
But Hotep, brother,
all
and
right,
I look
Jay.
Forward to Wednesday.
All
hopefully,
right.
Tuna will be back on soon.
I hope so, too, dear brother. Thanks a lot, Jay. Peace to you, my brother.
My brother.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm always encouraged and always believe that we will get up out of this madness. I really do. Because to me, if I don't, that's saying there's no hope. And I will always say that because we were here first, we will be here forever. And the mindset of our people will begin to change and begin to embrace the idea of love of self and the ability to work with one another to do things for ourselves. I really believe that will happen. And I really do believe that it will happen on the continent. And in that fact, it's the only place on the planet that it can happen. We must work with our brothers and sisters on the continent to get rid of all the despots, all the neocolonialists, all the foolishness, all the superstition, all the tribalism, all the mysticism, all this madness, and come together and control our land, our resources, and do for our people. And that no matter where we are, in the diaspora or wherever, we know we have home. A lot of us don't believe we have. Some people believe our home is in Mississippi. Our home is in Alabama. Our home here is in Georgia. I'm from Georgia. Brother, we are Africans. We are African people. And we must return. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. I hope to see you or hear or you call on Wednesday. So, Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Brothers and sisters, have a great and wonderful day. Be safe out there, and I will see you and hear from you on Wednesday. Peace, family.